Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, have you ever wondered, are old houses haunted? It's easy to wonder, especially when an old house is falling apart and looks beyond creepy. Aside from an exterior in disrepair, could something else be giving off the feeling of being watched? Is there something behind the walls of old homes letting us know that we are not alone in them?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now. 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Not an EVP cough, that was just me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, hey, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. With that, it's only $5 a month. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, 260 some of them up there for your listening enjoyment. Brand new ones every week. You get advanced episodes of the show, commercial free. So you get basically everything right there. You can just binge away on. And help keep the show on the air at the same time. So do check that out at patreon.com/realghoststories or Ghost Podcast. There's also the yearly option, by the way, with the yearly sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You get yourself Real Ghost Stories Online USB drive, or I can send you a download link depending on what you like. The USB drive, it's a physical USB drive. It's wooden. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because I respect wood. Jerry Wood. And it has our logo burned into it. It's It's pretty cool. So you can get that. That's when you sign up for the yearly membership. I have a huge box of them sitting behind me.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is.
Okay.
And they, by the time this airs, they should be in everyone's drives.
Okay.
In their hands, whatever you want to say. So anyway, a whole bunch of those just went out. So if you sign up over the summer months for that, you should probably get it by now, I'm assuming, because this we're about 2-3 weeks from recording to airing. So I'm going to drop these in the mail today. So there you go. Pretty cool stuff. Lots of stuff on that USB drive. It's not just a drive. On it is 10 hours of material, some exclusive stuff that's only on the drive. Very interesting interviews, stuff about Amityville, Richard and Chattanooga special, and a whole lot more. So do check that out. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I feel like I need to always say if there's audio that plays where it shouldn't, I have to point it out. Like where I coughed at the beginning of the episode. Uh-huh. Just because it's funny, because if I don't, I will get emails going, yeah, I think that's an EVP. And honestly, more times than not, it's, you know, some other, because there's all these computers that are pointing to this one that's recording over here. And sometimes, you know, I'll be on a website or something, and something will just play. or the audio playback thing for our calls for some reason. There's an autoplay function on it that is kind of touchy, and sometimes that'll play, and it'll play over something else. And I get how it can sound odd, but
yeah,
more times than not, it's
just that.
It's just that. But then, of course, we have had the incidents on the show where stuff is, I don't know what the hell it is. And, you know, like the Richard call a long time ago, there was a weird sound on the end of the call
from Glenn
the other day. I haven't heard much about that yet. As of this recording, I don't know if that's aired publicly yet. I don't think it has. But by the time this does, it will have. So I'm wondering if we're going to get any feedback on that. But yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
So I'm always interested in looking at it. I always do look just to make sure, but most of the time it's nothing. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's jump over to our first story today. It says, so I'm from Nebraska and my grandma lives in Lincoln, and I have a 2-story house, and both their dogs died, and they have a grave in the backyard. One was cremated and spread around the yard, so I was in the upstairs bedroom when I heard a bark. They have no dogs anymore, so I look at them out the window, lights on, there's nothing there, kind of scared. So I look and go to bed. There I go to bed, and I hear it again. My sister is out cold, and I hear the barking again. And I look, the light flickers, there's nothing there. Never have slept in that room again after that, but then I will still hear it. So I would listen to music, hear the dog barking super loud, and I tell my grandma, and she doesn't believe me. One day it happens, and I look, and there are 2 dogs looking at me, and I scream. Everyone wakes up, and they disappear. The dogs are gone, so I'm freaked out and have no idea what's happening. Those dogs came back all that time. I get scared, so one day I'm brave, and I decided to sleep in the basement. That leads directly out to the yard, which is where the dogs are. So I'm scared still. And I see them both on the bed sleeping. And I'm frozen scared. I'm a total scaredy cat. So I'm barely breathing. I text my grandma to tell her to get Gramps and get the gun. What are they going to get? Are they going to shoot the dogs? I mean, what is the thought process at this point?
I think she's wanting to kill the dogs.
Get the gun, Gramps. It's like, well, I get you're scared, but these are like family pets. But I get, I don't know, I guess maybe there's an underlying anger issue here.
I think she's thinking like Pet Cemetery.
Oh, okay. Well, like the pets go bad.
Yeah.
When they come back, they're evil.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it that way. Okay. I was like, God, if like my dead pets showed up, I don't think I'd be shooting at them. But if it was like Pet Cemetery, like, maybe you gotta do what you gotta do.
That'd be different.
All right. Comes full speed, sees nothing. So we go to the doctors. They think I'm hallucinating. But I know what I saw. I bring a Nerf gun and rapid strike with modified darts with me. And I'm scared. No matter what I do, I continue to see the dogs. And no, the Nerf guns did not help. There you go.
Yeah, I would imagine the Nerf guns were no help if you are seeing ghost dogs.
It didn't seem threatening. I still am kind of confused as to why they jumped to the gun. But maybe, again, too much Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, it could be that. I mean, if they're barking and keeping her up, then that's not a welcome thing. But
sure.
If it's just the fact that they're there, you know, I would take into account how their ghosts are behaving.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's more to it. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Ghost stories are better with punctuation marks, by the way. I just want to put that in there. Commas, periods, very helpful. Just throwing it out there. Next story, to give you a little back. Actually, it's funny because the other day, I'm going on a tangent, I know. But someone asked on one of the message boards, "Of how do I get my ghost story on the air?" And the replies were, "Put periods and commas in your story."
It's helpful.
So I think people are aware.
Yeah.
So that's pro tip right there. Periods, punctuation helps. Does sentences that don't ever end, not good.
Feel better.
I do.
Okay.
Next one. To give you a little background before I dive in, my whole family is blessed with the gift. Sensitivity is different forms and has always affected the females in my family. My mom, her sisters, myself, and cousins, all of us women have grown up seeing and talking to spirits. The level of sensitivity differs with each person to person. We can all claim that we have this gift. Every house I've ever lived in, except for my current home, has been haunted. I'm tough. Lucky enough to say that I have not ever had to encounter anything malevolent of this nature. Due to this fact, my reactions may seem tame compared to how others may normally react to an encounter with the paranormal. This house I'm about to tell you about, however, is the most haunted house I have ever lived in. I grew up in a sleepy little river town in northeast Missouri. We moved here from Pennsylvania when I was 11, so my mom could marry the love of her life. After having lived happily as a family for 2 years, we tragically lost my stepfather in a motorcycle accident. Understandably so, the house that we had shared with him those few years became too painful to be in. You'd walk into the house and just expect him to be there. To heal, my mom had to move. And so began our search. My mom was taking paramedics classes and raising 3 children, so money wasn't exactly abundant. We searched for months for a house. It was not only large enough to house my mom, my 2 brothers, and me, it had to be affordable. We just about lost all hope. The day my mom and I drove around our town looking for a new real estate sign that had maybe popped up in the last week or so since our last search, we drove around for almost an hour feeling defeated. We decided to head for home. Then we turned a corner and saw it. A 2-story brick home built in the late 1800s. My mom and I both gasped. We loved old houses. This one needed some work. It was obvious, but if the price was right, we would put the work into it. Without a word, she pulled over and we both exited the car. We frantically started peeking through windows. It had original hardwood floors, fireplaces, banisters. It was perfect. We just had to get inside. My mom dialed the number on the sign to set up a viewing. It had 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and was an absolute steal. 1 month later, after lots of DIY renovation projects, we moved in. The first night in the house is when I met our first spirit. Let's just call her Mary. As I climbed into bed that night, surrounded by boxes, I was exhausted. I switched off my light. My head hit the pillow. I could instantly feel myself drifting off, and then I heard a whisper. My heartbeat quickened, and I was filled with a feeling of sadness I had never experienced before in my life. I was panicked. Now, wide awake, I tried to focus in on the voice I was hearing, but she was muffled. Imagine trying to whisper loudly with a hand over your mouth. I sat up and scanned my room. I didn't see anything, which I thought was odd. Then I heard the floorboard outside my bedroom door creak. I calmly spoke. I know I'm new in this house, and if you're probably curious about me, but I'm very tired, just need to get some rest tonight, please leave me alone. After that, I listened as I heard her footsteps walk away from my room and down the stairs. I exhaled a sigh of relief and passed out. My encounters with Mary over the next 6 years were all about the same. Loud, muffled whispering, the feeling of sadness, and ultimately ended in me telling her I needed some sleep, to which she always obliged my request to be left alone. This took place about once a week for 6 years, and if I were to ever go back to my mom's house and stay in my old room, I guarantee I would not be alone. The second spirit we met we called Abraham. About 6 months after having moved in, boxes were all unpacked and the house really felt like a home. My mom had arranged memorabilia glasses all along the tops of the kitchen cabinets. Wonder Woman, Batman, Rolling Rock Beer, Scooby-Doo, you name it, we probably had it up there. We were all sitting in the living room talking and watching a movie when we heard a huge crash come from the kitchen. We leapt up and went to see what had happened. Sitting there upright in the middle of our brand new, now completely ruined, flat stovetop was a Wonder Woman glass. Now, the stovetop itself was destroyed. The Wonder Woman glass was unbroken. As my mom and I examined this, trying to figure out, number one, how the glass had even fallen over at the lip of the cabinet ledge, and number two, how it had landed upright and unshattered, we both heard Abraham giggle, and out of the corner of our eye saw him dart around the corner and off towards the living room. He was an African-American boy, about 6 years old, and dressed in red pajamas. We got to know him very well. He liked to play tricks, opening cabinets, unlocking doors that had just been locked. You'd set something down on the kitchen counter just to turn around and find it on the other side of the kitchen. Sometimes all you heard were his giggles, and you just braced yourself for whatever prank he might be cooking up. This spirit was a little tiring, much like any living child. We found that if one of us would sit in the dining room at night and read out loud, that it lessened this activity. So this became standard practice in our house. And since my brothers and I have moved out, my mom says his presence has lessened. Our third spirit made itself known to me when I was about 16, so roughly a year after having moved in. One night about 2 a.m., I sat up drenched in sweat and leaped out of my bed because I could hear a baby crying. I turned my light on and frantically looked around my room. It took me a whole minute of searching and waking up before I realized that we did not have a baby in our home. At about this point, I heard a door in the hallway open. I went to my door and opened it just a crack, only to see my mom standing there in the hallway looking as dumbfounded as me. We locked eyes, and she asked, "Do you hear it too?" I told her yes, and as we talked, the cries slowly faded, and having no other choice, we went back to bed. I lay there for a very long time, feeling very unnerved, but I did eventually drift back off to sleep. We came to find out that Mary had lost a baby while living in the house. This made so much sense to me and explained the overwhelming feeling of panic and sadness that came with her presence. I'm now 28 years old and have two sons of my own. They often go and stay with my mom, who still lives in the house to this day. One day about 2 weeks ago, my one-year-old son woke up in her bed at about 2 in the morning, and upon opening his eyes, he said, "Hi," and began waving to the ceiling. My mom, now completely awake, was watching him. Realizing that she had woken up, he turned to her and pointed at a spot on the ceiling and asked, "Who's that?" To which my mom responded, "I don't know, baby. What do you see?" Being that he's only one and his vocabulary is not great, he couldn't answer her. She said that he lay there waving, laughing, and clapping for several minutes before saying bye, waving at the ceiling again and rolling over and going to sleep as if nothing happened. I like to think it's Mary just checking in on him and enjoying playing with the baby again. These are only the three main entities in the house. Perhaps I'll do a part two someday and tell you about all of them. Though the house is constantly filled with the sounds of footsteps, creaks, and giggles, and muffled whispers, it has always felt like home to us. From the moment we laid our eyes on it, it called to us. It will forever be a place that I feel safe, despite the frequent visitors. I'm so glad that I stumbled upon this podcast this month and cannot wait to meet you all at the Crescent Hotel in August. So there's someone we met. I don't have the name on here, so I couldn't tell you who. There you go.
That's a really good story. And, you know, I'm glad that those, the ones that she mentioned, seem to be kind of just normal, doing their own thing kind of ghosts, not really bad ghosts.
Yeah, it sounds like they've kind of have a peace there. It's like this cohabitation and nothing's really, you know, trying to go after them for any reason.
I like that. The names they gave them, you know, it's not just like boy ghost, woman ghost, you know. It's like they had names. I'm sure that was somehow conveyed to them, whether they know it or not.
What do you think if you gave ghost names, just kind of did your own assignment of names, but you did it almost like you people do pets sometimes and kind of a, you know, squirrely, oh, that would be a funny name. You know, like if you thought of that for a human, that human would be like, what the fuck?
Then you might not have a peaceful haunting.
That's what I'm wondering. If you gave the ghost some sort of, you know, asshole-ish name, would the ghost be like, no, that's not who I am?
Yeah, because nobody likes being called something that's not right.
Yeah. That could be a great way to piss off a ghost. So I wonder if that would be a way to make a haunting increase. People are always, you know, they make the question, well, how do you get the ghost to come out? And, you know, there's different ways. I do not like condone the antagonizing, but I think that would almost fall into the world of antagonizing.
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, if you started calling like the ghost like Mr. Pedophile or something, it's like, I think the ghost would show up, especially if that's not who they were.
Yeah.
They'd be like, now I'm really going to be pissed. And then the thing is, it would totally play into the lore of the name that's given if you give it something like really dark like that. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, see, they're really mean. They're horrible. It's like, no, I just hate my fucking name. I wonder how often that's how it works with antagonizing ghosts. Where they're just trying to set the record straight and it's all just a giant misunderstanding.
I don't know.
How would you get a ghost to come out?
I wouldn't. I would let it not come out.
You never sat there and wondered like, huh, I wonder how I can make the ghost show up.
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
Nothing on that list?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just thought I'd ask. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hi, you guys. My name is Sarah. I'm telling you the stories because hopefully I can get some answers and some closure. It happened many, many years ago, I would say about maybe about 7 years ago. So I worked for a physician in southeastern Pennsylvania, and one of her offices actually was out of an old home. It was owned by a family that's very well known in southeastern Pennsylvania by the name of Ware family. They've all passed away since. The home that we practice out of was probably built, you can't quote me on this, but late 1800s. I was falling, I was a single mother. I didn't have a lot of money. My physician, my employer knew this. So she said to me, would you be willing to clean this office every other Sunday? And I'd pay you for it. And of course I said, sure, no problem. I would love to do that. So I had started cleaning the office for a couple months at this point, maybe three, so that was maybe a handful of times, maybe four times or whatever. Yeah, I always got an eerie feeling in there. It's an older building. You go in the back of the office. They have the cement walls, so it's cold back there. You know, the whole heebie-jeebie things. But it was an older building, and that's what I put it to. So one day, as I was cleaning, I always start in the back of the office and work my way up to the front of the office, to the front desk. As I was cleaning that, I always open up the blinds. It was a nice autumn day. And one of the windows, when you're at the front desk, faces the parking lot. And the other one, on the opposite side of the wall, faces a nice field. There was nothing really surrounding this office at this point. It was a nice open wood. Well, that parking lot. So it was So as I came to the front of the office, I just had this very eerie feeling, and I had the radio playing throughout the office, that I was being watched. So I immediately, of course, the hair on my arm stood up. I looked out the window to the parking lot. No one had pulled up. I looked out to the opposite side window. Nobody was in the field. I don't know what I was expecting there. So I just shrugged it off and said, let me just get this place clean and get out of here. So I proceeded back to the office to go get another trash bag, and went to the front of the office to collect the remaining part of the trash. And if you know anything about offices, you'll know they have copiers. And the copier that we had in this very small office was not your normal universal one. It was a very small, simple, almost like a home copier. And it was an energy saver one. The only way that it worked is, you used it. If you didn't use it in time, it would automatically shut off in order to save energy. We had had this at this point, this copier, 4 years in that office at that point. With that practice, and the only way that you can turn it on is, one, if you lift the actual top of the copier up to set your piece of paper or whatever you need copied on it, or two, if you push the button that is the on button. Again, this copier was just a copier / scanner. It was not a fax machine at all. Never was before or after that. You can't do that. So as I was standing there about 4 feet away from it, it turned on. It turned on. I heard it. I saw it. I saw the faceplate light up, and then it proceeded to print out a blank piece of paper. The only way that machine could have done that is if someone went up and pressed not only the on button, but then print or copy. I immediately, my heart started pounding. My legs felt heavy as anything, and I immediately felt this pressure, this presence, that I was definitely not alone. I'm very logical in everything that I do, and I was really standing there telling myself, there's got to be a logical reason for this. Calm down. Focus on your breathing. This is when I had a trash bag in my hand because I was so stunned. I then started logically thinking for a reason why this would occur. So immediately I thought, this is an old house. Maybe a mouse ran over the cord that plugged in on the floor. I then got on all fours, looked underneath there. Not only was there no mouse, but the copier is plugged into the same extension cord as the radio is that was playing the entire time that never stopped. So there were also lights on that were in the office. They did not flicker. They did not blink. The radio did not skip a beat. It was still on, so it wasn't a shortage. It wasn't anything of that sort. I then stood up, heart still pounding, and said out loud and felt ridiculous for saying it. I still kind of do. I'm a grown woman. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to know that you're here. Please leave. I felt such a heavy presence behind me that I was scared to death to turn around because I did not want to see anything. So I immediately then closed the trash bag up, left it there, walked over to the two blinds that were open, closed them, did not touch the copier, turned off the radio, then left the vacuum in the waiting room, still plugged in, left the actual office itself, and as soon as I got out of the office, I called my coworker that I've worked with her, and she worked in that office too. Probably I worked with her about maybe 6 years at that point. She told me to calm down and I told her everything that had happened. She immediately said, "You're fine, you're out of it." She goes, "But you know what? I need to tell you, I've also felt things in there. Like, you're not alone." I told my employer, I felt stupid for telling him her, excuse me. And to this day I have no rhyme or reason on why that occurred. I have more stories about this place. I just don't want to waste your time. I have gone through the theory that maybe it was a mouse, maybe it was a shortage. I've tried to information every which way to this. The machine never did that after, never did it before. I asked everyone if it ever did, and they all denied it. I found out that that actual part that we rented out of that home was a slave's quarter. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. We're on the Maryland border line there. That individual that owned that house was not a nice person, and there were some things found out about him that were not nice. I won't go into detail. But yeah, since then it's been torn down and apartment buildings have been built, probably about 30 feet away from that place, but not on it. So I hope if you have any explanations or any theories that I can't think of, please, so that at least I can know that maybe I didn't experience it. Maybe it was, you know. Needless to say, I never want to go clean there alone again. I brought my kids with me or had my husband wait outside or just started cleaning it with somebody there. Thank you for your time. Have a good day. Bye.
A lot of people don't know is that the Xerox X261 is notoriously, is it 661 or 666? That is notoriously.
You're so full of shit. You don't know anything about Xerox, anything.
Is the one that is notoriously, it like brings in demons. And then they ended up discovering that there had been rituals performed on the copiers before they went out. And then it happens to be that part of the country that's called Demon Copier Lane, where it's just like 30 square miles.
You're so full of it.
It was a Xerox repair guy, apparently, that was doing all these rituals.
There's somebody out there believing this line of shit you're feeding.
Completely making that up. I don't know. I have no answers. It probably has nothing to do with the copier. More so, it's just the copier is being used as the tool.
Instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done the mouse thing too, where I heard something and I thought, "Oh, it must be a mouse," and chances are it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. When
I was a kid.
Okay.
I don't think that in this case it was a mouse either, since the coworker also felt that presence too, and knowing the history of the house / office.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what do you get an answer for?
I told her that's what I said. It wasn't a mouse. It was something there.
But she doesn't want. She wants a. She wants an answer of like, this didn't happen. It's totally logical. So give a. I gave the Xerox story. What's your logical story?
To me, it is a logical story. I don't see a haunting as an illogical.
No, I know.
Reason. Yeah. So I, you know, it may not be the answer that she wants necessarily, but I think that's probably the only one that really makes sense.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I know sometimes when you have a story, you share it, and I think it's natural to want to have an explanation for it, and you're really kind of hoping that the explanation is going to be non-ghostly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, going there and having to work in that place again. But unfortunately, I don't think that's always the real answer to what's going on. Thank you for sharing that story. You ever had any office equipment act up strangely in unexplained ways?
Not really. Not that I can think of.
I'd have fax machines. But fax machines were like questionable at best sometimes, especially the older ones. I'd have them like go off all the time and like just paper would come out. There'd be no fax.
Yeah.
But I didn't take it as anything ghostly. I took it more as... because there was something, it was basically fax spamming, for a while. And the thing is that so many places don't have fax machines anymore, or if they have a fax number, it just goes literally to an inbox on a computer, which is probably better because God knows the amount of fax spam that existed. But there was, you would get on a list and get spammed with whatever crap companies were faxing out. And there'd be most of the faxes that I think we would get in a day. But every once in a while, it was kind of unnerving because faxes, obviously, back in the day, came physically through a thing and paper moved and dropped and, it's like a copy machine for kids who don't know what a fax machine is. And, you know, if you're the only one, in a office place late at night, it just was the case for me oftentimes. It is kind of unnerving when you're just walking down the hall and all of a sudden you hear something physically moving next in the room next to you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is that? Oh, it's just the fax machine.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's now where there isn't that. That's not the easy explanation. Because I could go to that all the time. It's just the fax machine. Baby crying. The fax machine.
You know what freaks me out is when Alexa randomly talks to us.
Yeah, that happens.
When I haven't said anything even remotely sounding like her name. Or it'll just be quiet and all of a sudden she'll be like, I didn't hear that.
Joins in the conversation.
Yeah.
It's because Alexa's always listening.
Well, I know, but when there was nothing that made a noise that was audible to a human that she seemed to pick up, that's what freaks me out.
Like you're curious, like if she's picking up something else?
Yeah.
And replying? Okay. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of glitches in the product.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, I think some of the I didn't hear that. Like you weren't supposed to hear that. I wasn't even talking to you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things where they're always listening. I've been noticing lately. I'll say something. This happened last night. I was in here recording the episode that probably will air the day before this one with Carol, and we were talking about crows, and we were talking just about the crazy, amazing things that they can do. And I did type crows, but this was, I typed crows after this. I was scrolling around Facebook as we're having this conversation on the air, and boom, like I never find things about crows on Facebook. It was just random. But boom, some like random video pops up of crows attacking a person in their house. And it was just like a crazy video. Woman gets attacked by crows, like that sort of a deal. It's like, what is all listening to me here? And somehow the algorithm is saying, show this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when everyone was freaked out by that, when they were just Googling stuff and then that we just kept coming up in their browsers, like, how does it know? Well, you typed it in.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it does. That's, you know, I mean, it was new at the time and kind of creepy. But I imagine this whole everybody being creeped out by, oh, you know, our devices are listening to us and then it's popping shit up. It's going to, we'll listen to this episode 10 years from now and be like, yeah, and?
Yeah.
It's just, it'll be just kind of accepted and part of life and completely normal. And you'll be the crazy one if you think that that's intrusive. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is what it is. I don't know that I like it, but...
No, we just need to adjust.
Yeah. So, say a lot of crazy shit around your house and see what pops up on your devices. It's like, what? What do you want? What? So, anyhow, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus material and more, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.